The sixth dibra is lo sirtzach, the avera, the iser of murder. Interestingly, before we get to the specifics of murder, the psikta frames one of the unique aspects of the entire second half of the dibros, the second tablet, which we are beginning now, with a conversation that took place between the Roman Emperor Hadrian and the famous Tana, Rabbi Shua ben Hananya. Apparently, in the retelling of the Medrash, the Roman Emperor was aware that, unlike the first tablet, the first five Dibros, in which Hashem's name is mentioned multiple times, in the second tablet, in the second set of Luchos, in the second group, 5, 6 through 10, starting now with murder, you don't have any reference to Hashem's name. So why is that? So the Medrash explains that Rabbi Yeshua answered him by walking around with him and showing in the various places of his empire, in this capital city where they were, there were many different statues and pictures and tributes to the Roman emperor in all sorts of places. But in the bathhouse, the bathrooms, other types of places like that, there are no such pictures. And Rabbi Yeshua asked Hadrian, why is that? And he responded, it's not Kavod HaMalchus, it wouldn't be proper respect for the emperor, for me, if it was to have my picture in such degraded places. So the Medrash concludes, Rabbi Yeshua said to him, don't you hear what your own mouth is saying? That's the same reason why Hashem does not have his name in the second set of Luchos, because we are beginning now, these last five Dibros, the second tablet. These are all terrible, embarrassing things, and murder, and adultery, and jealousy, and kidnapping, these kind of things. Hashem doesn't want to be associated with such people, and therefore in such a subtle way, he doesn't mention his name. Interesting. So it's already, you know, tips our hand, not that we needed it, obviously, to the severity of the things, the prohibitions that are listed now on this second tablet, starting with the sixth dibra of murder. And in halacha and in hashkafa, and obviously these two are, if not inseparable, but certainly inspire each other, we see the unique severity of ritzicha, of murder. Two, you know, incredibly important sources which highlight the importance of murder from a halachic perspective. Of course, the first one being the halacha that we're all familiar with from the sugya in Sanhedrin, that murder is one of the only sins in the Torah, one of the big three, which is in fact, not only is it a capital offense, but you can't even do it to save your life. If, in some hypothetical case, a non-Jew were to say, either you kill someone else or I kill you, the halacha is, yehareg v'al yavor. You have to allow yourself to be killed rather than kill somebody else. So this is already striking because there's only three such halachos in the whole Torah that you're allowed to, that you must give up your life for. But what's particularly striking is, unlike the other two, idolatry and sexual immorality, where there are drashot, there are psukim that are used as the source, this is considered a simple svara, the compelling logic of it. After all, says the Gemara, who said your blood is redder than anyone else? Why do you think your life takes precedence over whoever it is that you would kill? And Rashi explains that with most mitzvos, you're allowed to transgress to save your life because we are taught that your life and anyone's life is more precious to Hashem than the mitzvah. But in this case, either you're going to die or the person you're going to kill is going to die. Someone is going to die. And therefore, that factor of life being precious to Hashem is no longer relevant because someone's going to die no matter what. And now the only question is whether it's you or someone else. And then we're reduced with assuming, if you want to save your life, that your life is more valuable than the other person, and there is no basis on which to make such an assumption. So obviously, that is the single most important source, I guess you could say, that highlights just the unique severity of the prohibition of murder. Another important source is the Rambam in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah in the fifth chapter, where he quotes the din from a very famous passage in the Talmud Yerushalmi in Masechta Trumos, of what's known as Tnu Lanu Echad Mikem. Let's say non-Jews besiege, they surround a Jewish town or city, and they say, listen, we don't want to kill any of you, really. We just have one guy we're after. If you send him out, we'll take care of him. But if you don't send him out, we're going to kill all of you. So from a strict, you know, calculus perspective, of course it makes sense. Not only is one death better than a lot of deaths, you would think, but also if you don't send the guy out, he's anyway going to die because they said they're going to kill the whole city and he's in the city. So you haven't even saved his life. That one guy is going to die no matter what. Either you send him out and the non-Jews kill him, or he stays in the city and they burn the whole town down. And yet, despite that fact, the halacha is clear, this is the psak, we do not do that. Even indirectly, to give someone over in such a direct, you know, indirectly, you're not killing him, but you're not just, you know, allowing them to take him, so to speak, you're actually handing him over. In fact, that is considered so bad that everyone, not only you have to die rather than hand the person over, an entire city would have to die, hundreds, thousands of people, theoretically, rather than to do that. Really quite an incredible and striking halacha. Another, I would say, more subtle and sensitive area, but just worth mentioning very briefly, where you see this importance, is in the discussion about suicide. We know that suicide is prohibited, but it's interesting that there's actually a machlokes achronim, whether suicide is prohibited as an independent prohibition, or is it prohibited as a form of murder, of self-murder. And there were achronim, like the Beis Meir, who think that, in fact, suicide is murder. And one of the sources that's brought to bolster this idea is a medrash that says that lo sirtzach, here in the Dibros, could be also read lo tit ratzach. You should not cause yourself to be killed, which sounds like the same prohibition of murder is whether you murder someone else or yourself. Now, not everyone agrees to that. The Minchas Chinuch, and already probably in the Meiri, seems to say, no, it's not murder. It's a bad sin. It's a grievous sin, but it's not murder. But just the fact that there could even be such a discussion and, in fact, some opinions that could conclude that it's murder, again, something very striking. From a hashkafic perspective as well, we have numerous important sources that highlight just how terrible a murder is in such a unique way. One significant source is the Mishnah in Sanhedrin and Daf Lamed Zayin, where it talks about how when someone, there would be a capital case and witnesses would come to testify that potentially could frame a person as being guilty through their testimony and potentially have that person be killed by the court. So the Beis Din, before accepting their testimony, would warn them about how severe the consequences are and how they better be telling the truth. And one of the things we do is we tell them, you know, listen, this is not a monetary case where even if you testify falsely, it's a terrible avera, but that could always be rectified. You could always pay the money back. Dini Nefashos, says the Mishnah, Damo v'dam zarosav teluyin bo ad sof olam. You can't repay someone's life if you falsely testify and cause them to die. And it's not only them. The Mishnah highlights this a very important idea, which goes back to the story of Cain. Rashi already on Bereishis makes this point that if you kill someone, you not only rob that person of his or her life, but all the future children and descendants that could have come from that person who will never be born now. So do you realize how severe this prohibition is? Moreover, the Sefer HaChinuch and others point out that you are violating God's entire purpose of creating the world. Hashem created the world because he wanted it populated. So by you killing someone, aside from the Benam L'Chavero to the person that you've killed, but it's also in a certain sense of Benam L'Makom, hashkafically, if not halachically, because you are negating God's purpose in creating the world. Moreover, Rav Sajid Gaon in his Emunos Vedeos says it's not just the physical life that you've prematurely ended by murdering someone, Rahman al-Itzlan, but you've prevented that person's soul from fully developing. We have whatever amount of years we have in this world, in our human, in our physical body, not only to live life, but to use that life to hopefully develop our neshama, to develop our soul. But if a person at whatever age is killed before, quote-unquote, their time, says Rav Sajid Gaon, the heinousness of that is not only the physical robbing of life, but you've robbed the neshama of what should have been a full term of life to perfect itself. The Tells of Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Avraham Yitzchok Bloch, is quoted with making a very interesting and a nice ha'ara that he asks, why is murder even included in the Aseret HaDibros? Aseret HaDibros were given to the Jewish people as part of the Torah at Sinai, but we know that murder is not something that's unique to the Jewish people. One of the seven Noahide prohibitions, all non-Jews are also prohibited from murdering. So why is murder included here? So Rav Bloch explained, because murder, the Lo Tirtzach, at least on a deeper level, includes all sorts of other things beyond what we might think of as just murder. The Gemara Bava Metzia famously says that if you embarrass someone in public, it's as if you killed them. Moreover, the Gemara in Yevamos says if you cause them to lose their parnasa, it's as if you've shed blood. And the Gemara in Sota, based on the psukim about Egla Arufa, say that if you are a host and someone is leaving your house, leaving your town, and you don't provide them with the proper provisions, you don't escort them out of town, and therefore they're very vulnerable to getting killed, you would bear some responsibility of their death. So says Rav Bloch, you see that our halacha of lo sirtzach is not the same as a non-Jew. We have all these other ancillary things which are considered so severe because they share some dimension, even loosely, but some dimension of the severity of murder that are included under that umbrella. Just two final points to conclude, and that is harot, one by one of the Rishonim and one by the Medrash, about the comparison and contrasting between the two sets of luchos. The Akedas Yitzchak points out that the luchos are parallel, that the first dibra parallels the sixth dibra, the second one the seventh, and on and on. In other words, in each dibra, right and left, the first of that respective dibra parallels the other one. So why does Lo Tirtzach parallel Ani Hashem? Why does the first dibra parallel number six? Because just like denying God and not believing in Hashem is the ultimate betrayal in a Ben Adam L'Makom, so too, killing is the ultimate betrayal of Ben Adam L'Chavero. Last but not least, the Medrash in the Mechilta tells us something also along the same lines about how each of the tablets correspond to each other, so that Dibra number 6, Lo Tirtzach, is parallel, corresponds to Dibra number 1, Ani Hashem. And what does that teach us? So something very profound, something we really need to think about. It says that anyone, Rachmana Litzlan, who would kill another person, you've impaired and limited the divine image in the world. We mentioned previously that from the Sefer HaChinuch, that Hashem's plan for the world is it should be populated. But says the Mechilta, it's in a certain sense even more than that. Every person in the world is created with Tzelem Elokim. Every person in the world is a walking image of Hashem. And for you to kill another person, Rachmana Litzlan, you have diminished and impaired some of the divine light, some of the divine image in this world. Comparable, says the Medrash, is a mashal to a king who had statues and paintings and coins of his likeness throughout his empire, and over time the various statues got broken and taken down, and the paintings were defaced and the coins got dulled, and all the while that the paintings and the coins and the statues and everything was up, there was tremendous kavod for the king. But as these things get broken, diminished, faded, or taken down, then the king loses a certain amount of honor. So too, says the Medrash, if a human being is killed, then that takes away some of Hashem's honor in this world. So on the one hand, it is the paradigmatic, the most severe Ben Adam L'Chavero, excuse me. That's why it leads off the second set of luchos, number 6 on the left side. On the other hand, as we've seen, there are certain very profound ideas, if not halachically, then at least hashkafically, profound ideas about the sanctity of human life, and therefore to snuff it out in an illicit way, to murder another person, is in a very deep and profound way also a form of Ben Adam L'Makom, in the sense that you are ruining God's plan for the world and snuffing out and diminishing some of his likeness, some of his kavod in this world.